Welcome back to the At Home Podcast. Sitting around the table today, we have Angie Brenneman, Dustin Eby, and myself, Brant Nine. We're talking about attitude and mindset today. It's a heavy topic. So, Angie, kick us off.
Yes. Well, it's sunny out. You know, when Chris has happened to be absent today, he's taking a little break, right?
Not really sure what he's doing.
I know, and he always gives us a hard time if we're taking breaks. So we have to point out that he's taking a
break.
It'll
probably be a 15-minute podcast then.
Yeah. Anyways, well, he always points out that the weather, what's happening on a Tuesday afternoon when we're up here in the studio, and so today.
That's a great point. He does do that, doesn't
yes,
he?
Yes, he does. He does.
Something like this. As I look out the windows. Because right. I get to sit in Chris's seat today, and I can actually look out the windows. He doesn't allow us to do that usually. So,
and the sun is shining. And I have to be honest, I felt spring for the first time, like, this last weekend. Would you guys agree?
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
It's coming. I got a burn. I got my first burn, so
yeah,
felt good about that.
Well, usually I have to feel like when you go on spring break, like, Dustin, you went, like, south a little bit. I went south. You kind of come back, and you're, like, expecting maybe, like, this April snowfall, and it's not happening this year. And so.
Yeah, there was a couple of times where it was really cold. But I'd say overall pretty mild winter, Indiana winter here. So it's – but the sunshine and the 70-degree weather is something that I think is very – welcomed by us all.
So. Yes. And so we are ready for a new season and new time in life. I love the spring. And so today we're going to go and we're going to talk through the book of Philippians a little bit. We're diving in on a Sunday morning, but we're going to kind of take some different avenues and kind of dive a little deeper. And so Philippians is written by our favorite Apostle Paul. Mm. So as we were looking into this, we talked about, I'm a music person. You like movies, don't you, Brant?
Movies.
But you're more of a movie. Like, if you're going to ask me questions,
that is true.
You are a totally more movie person. Yeah. I'm like a music. What would you qualify yourself as, Dustin?
I'd say movies as well. Yeah.
You're a movie person. See, I'm like, I am when I.
Oddball.
No, I'm like the greatest hits album. So, like, if I'm going to play a playlist, right, I'm going to put together something.
Here's the question. You get one song to listen to. Oh, how about we'll do this. We'll do one album. You get one album to listen to for the rest of your life. What is it?
Oh, my word.
You have to pick. I can pick my movie right now.
Well, okay. There's a lot of up and downs inside and, like, it depends on what
I know.
It
depends on the mood. Like, I get it.
Attitude and place I'm in.
Mm-hmm. Pick one, Angie.
Can I pick a genre? I'd actually stick with country music. I'm not going to lie. I love worship.
Covers a lot of emotions.
It does. And there's worship inside of country music. They're laughing
at me. That is a whole other podcast.
Anyways, debatable. I'm going to choose a greatest hits album in my genre. I would say, hey, if I'm going to listen to something right now, I have kind of I have a Phil Wickham playlist. Mm-hmm. That's a kind of a greatest hits album, you know, kind of different things. I'm into Ann Wilson. She's a new artist. That's both country.
She's great. She is
very great. And so she has a new album coming out. Thank you. You can send me any type of money for that statement. But
wow, Angie.
Anyways,
I'll take money too, whoever's listening. I'm not going to buy an album with it.
Here's the deal. When we go into the Old and New Testaments, a lot of times we have some greatest hits verses. Mm-hmm. So Apostle Paul, he's one of our favorite guys in the New Testament, written so many different books in the New Testament. So we have a lot of verses out there that are like some greatest hits verses.
For sure.
You know, what's one everybody says, I can do
all things through Christ who strengthens me.
That's like the go-to verse. Right. So let's talk a little bit. What are our go-to verses? What are your greatest hits? Like, when you're in the middle of something, you're going to go, I'm going there. Or maybe even what you're going through right now. Dustin?
We were just talking about this a little bit ago, too. I'm always fascinated by how many verses I cannot recall when I'm asked to recall verses. So, but one that I would say is probably my favorite, but the one that I go to quite a bit, is Jeremiah 29, not 11, but verse 13. It says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. So that's one that I got a Bible from my great-grandpa, and that was the very first verse that I saw that he had highlighted. So one that's always kind of stuck with me.
Good. That's a good one.
Yeah. Well, you know mine, Dustin. No, we were joking. We were joking before the podcast started. I said mine, and then I kind of blanked on what it was, and I was like, well, you know. But anyway, it's my go-to is 2 Timothy 1:7. which says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline or self-control.
Yep. Right. Yeah. When I was a kid, I was in Bible drills. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? Like quizzing? Do you remember? Were you old enough to still have the quizzing?
I didn't grow up in a Christian home. So.
Anyways,
didn't do any quizzing.
I did quiz Bible quizzing, and so I had to learn a lot of verses. But I came across, I guess you could say, one of those verses that kind of digs deep into your soul and reminds you when you're going through those deep, dark, hard times what your purpose is. And it was in Romans 12, which is not verses 1 and 2. Mm. It actually has the 1 and 2 behind it, verses 11 and 12, which we're going to talk about Romans 12 today a little bit. But 11 and 12 say, never, and we're never supposed to say never, but Paul says it, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. And so I kind of hold to that when I'm in my dark times. So speaking of these verses that we hold to, here Paul is. Let's talk a little bit about Philippians and the verses that we see Paul kind of laying out for us. And we have gone through Philippians 1 and 2 on Sunday mornings. Mm-hmm. And Dustin, I love what you said about Philippians 2 and this whole thing that Paul's laying out for us. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, you had just mentioned really there. I mean, the whole kind of the bold heading above Philippians 2, starting with verse 1, is have the attitude of Christ. So we're just talking about attitudes and different seasons of life and what brings on our different attitudes. And so I was just kind of had the thought of, I think if you ever are wondering how you're doing with your attitude, it's always a good place to check would be starting with reading Philippians 2, just to see where you're at.
And then after you do your attitude check, you're like, F, I'm failing.
Yeah, not great.
I'm kind of failing.
Yep. Remember those shirts that we used to get for athletics that would say attitude is everything? And it really does. It drives everything else that we do. It drives our purpose and how we accomplish the things that God has called us to do. If our attitudes aren't in the right place, then we can't do anything. And Paul, who's sitting in prison right now, right, could be throwing a fit and acting like a baby. And Chris talked about this in his first sermon on Philippians, but instead he's taking every opportunity to further the kingdom and the message of Christ.
Right. I think it brings up the point that a lot of times we can set in an excuse of our environment or of our circumstances. Well, it's just a bad day.
Yeah.
I spilled my milk and my coffee or my coffee wasn't hot enough or, you know, my kids are acting up or my car didn't start. I locked my keys in the car.
Right.
I mean, we can go on and on. The person I was driving down the road with, I mean, it was a terrible, you know, amount of traffic. I mean, there's lots of excuses that we put out there.
It's funny. I went to college with the buddy of mine who would just call those throwaway days. So it'd be like 9:30 in the morning and he's like, it's a throwaway day. It's just not going well. So I'm just going to throw it away. I'm like, you got a lot of the day left, man. It could turn around for you.
You could redeem the day yet. I mean, 9:30.
That's right.
Some of us are.
But you're right. It's the whole idea of, no, like, I just don't feel like maybe putting in the effort of having a good attitude today. So I'm just going to say, it's just not my day.
Yeah. We've all coached. And so one thing I think about in this is that we talk about it's not about what happens to you. It's about how you respond to what happens to you, right? That whole adversity pep talk that you get. That you give, and it's so much easier said than done. And when you're coaching and you're standing on the sideline and you're watching it play out, you can see, well, if they would just, it's okay that happened. Like, mistakes are going to happen, but if they would just respond in this way, it's still going to end up being okay. But when you're in the moment, it's hard to have that mindset all the time.
Well, here we got Paul. Mm-hmm. Okay. He's lived this life that, what I would say, I think, would be a very, opportune, way to be entitled. Like, I should have it this way. Yeah. I've done this. I mean, he came from one of the most educated backgrounds, had a place inside of, his culture, had a job, had all these things. And then God just kind of like snatched him and brought him over to his side. And he goes up against almost everything that culture kind of says that I should have. And he says, you know what? Here I am sitting in a prison cell. I'm going to face imminent death.
Yeah.
And yet I'm going to bring about this letter that I want to encourage you guys, have joy, have hope, love each other, mm-hmm. have unity. And you're sitting there going, aren't you worried about
your life?
Your life.
Yeah.
I think that's why his words are so powerful. And it really does. I mean, it gives them so much meaning. Not that they wouldn't have otherwise, but like you think if he wasn't in prison and he wrote it, you know, if he was writing it from a palace and not a prison, the context does, I think, make a difference here. And you're reading it and you're like, man, because he didn't know what the end result was going to be out of this. He was just writing, I believe, you know, obviously what God was laying on his heart. But I mean, he was writing with where he was currently in his situation. And so it just is amazing when you actually think back on it and you read it for where he was, how powerful the words that he wrote really are. So
yeah. Well, I do think that, too, is that it's not just his words that he's laying out there, but he's being very personal and very open. And a lot of scholars and a lot of people who've read through Philippians and his other epistles say this is one of the most personal, deep, dedicated, letters that he's ever written. Mm-hmm. And so I say that is that he was saying like his last words in a way, you know, like if you're on your deathbed and you're saying your last words, what would you say?
Mm. Right. I thought about this before just because you have almost like two thoughts, like one, like this is what I would want to say. Like these are all the things I would want to say. So I want to write them down because this is what I would want to say. And then you would actually have this is the moment. These are my last moments. And then maybe it would be different than what you would want to say. And maybe it wouldn't be. I would hope that I would be encouraged to say things like he's saying. And but would I don't know. It's hard to put yourself in that position when you've never been in that position before. But that's why I hope that, I mean, as we kind of work through this and talk about this a little bit more, that my attitude and that my default is more of this than it is just thinking about myself, my wants, my needs.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to read what he jumps into in Philippians chapter 2. This whole idea of taking an attitude of gratitude, you know, changing your mindset. So it says, therefore, don't you love it when it says, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being what? Like-minded. Having the same love, being of one in spirit and one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of others. Okay.
Yeah, we live in a world that is surrounded by this idea of having pride, not just taking pride in what you do, but having pride, and then also just being selfish of trying to accomplish your goals on your timing and no matter the cost. It's counteractive to unity, which is what you're talking about.
Right, it is counteractive. But here's what I want to say. Like for me, when I'm in the prison of my own, you know, life, like when I'm going through a difficult time, when like Paul, my default is not this.
Sure.
My default is not to be like-minded with the people around me and to feel like joy. And it's very much like the opposite. And I don't think that there's a lot of people who could say, well, I'm automatically really happy when, you know, things don't go my way. Usually it's the opposite.
Well, and I don't know if Paul was happy.
No.
He just had a joy that people without Christ couldn't understand. Like we've talked about this before, right? Happiness versus joy. And I think his joy overcame his emotions in that moment, and he still took advantage fully of the opportunity.
So one of these things that Dan and I have talked about a lot over the years in sometimes when we're put in hard situations and we don't get it right, you guys know what I mean? Like our attitude is still negative and we need to flip the script to positive and joy. And what he's saying there is, you know, having love, kindness, unity, thinking of others rather than yourself. Dan, I loved it when I was really, really struggling. When I said I was really having a difficult time with where God put me in life, and this is about 10 years ago, Dan looked at me and he goes, you know what, Ange? God's not going to move you out of this until you get it right. because I think what it says here is that God, putting on the mind of Christ, having our mindset change to where we actually live with His His humility, His drive. Like, I don't think that God, like, just because I'm praying for my, like, whatever I was going through, I was like, Lord, you know, release me from this or take this away or change my circumstance. Mm-hmm. Whatever it is that we pray. Usually it's, no, you know, the song, I go back to a song and I can still remember when God spoke it to me. He goes, it was, Lord, move or move me. Mm-hmm. And He moved me. And He changed me to have the attitude, to change a mindset, to say, this isn't about me, it's about others.
I think we always have to fight for that mindset.
All the time.
I mean, I wake up and I feel like I have to fight for that mindset. Who's today going to be about? Is it going to be about Jesus and furthering His mission? Or is it going to be about me and all the goals that I want to accomplish today? Yeah. I'm sitting here thinking, so my father passed away in 2019 of cancer. In the last year and a half of his life, he fought it, and he fought it hard. In the last couple of months of that battle, he became, I mean, just full transparency, hard to be around, just a hard-hearted person. And you mentioned, like, you know, what kind of thing, how would you act if you're on your deathbed or you know, where death is imminent and it's on the horizon? And my dad became a version of himself that just wasn't good in that time. He was suffering, right? And I fear that if I'm pressed to that point, one of my biggest fears is that I will become hard like that. And what's the analogy, right? When you squeeze, an orange juice is supposed to come out, right?
A lemon, and it makes lemonade,
right? But when we're squeezed in those moments, when we're suffering, or we're in a situation that's just not easy, and we're squeezed, I'm constantly concerned about what's going to come out. Is it going to be what I hope is going to be, which is a good representation of Christ, regardless of the circumstance? Or is it going to be one of my deepest, darkest fears?
Yeah, it reminds me a little bit of and I know that this is, speaking of just familiar passages of Scripture, the passage in James, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. And, you know, the testing of your faith develops perseverance. And the whole idea of that testing was a term that silversmiths would use, you know, when they would test to see if the purity of silver. So they would heat it up, and time again, they would scrape off the impurities that would rise to the top, and they would do this process over and over, and then eventually they would realize that the silver is pure when they could look down and see their reflection. And I think for us, it's like how a lot of times we are tested in areas and we are put through these situations, and eventually when we can look in a mirror, it's not us we see, but we're seeing Jesus in those moments, and not just us. And so I have to remind myself of that. If there's a specific area that I'm wrestling with or I'm struggling with, and I keep finding myself back, it's like, man, is this something that I just need to continue to be refined in, so that I'm reflecting Jesus and not just seeking my own goals or ambitions in this?
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think this is the deal, is we all have struggles. Like you guys are saying, like, what are we going to be like when we face those struggles? Mm-hmm. What if I said that one of the major struggles in all of us is in our minds, mm-hmm. like how we think? Like Satan knows that it's a battleground that's real. And I think Apostle Paul had a handle on this. I mean, how many times throughout his writings do you find renew your mind, you know, captivate, you know, take captive your thoughts into obedience to Christ, you know, change, have the mind of Christ.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think part of that is just remembering, right? Remember what has been told to you, what has been taught to you, you know, read for us, read the Bible. There was somebody who said one time, I don't know if it was on this podcast or where I heard this, but you know, a question arose: how can I tell if it's God's voice or if it's my voice in my head, in my mind? Mm-hmm. And the answer was simply that if you're in the Word consistently, it's just like anything. The sheep know their shepherd's voice if you're spending time with them. And so, I don't know, that just challenges me. When we renew our mind, what does it look like for us today? And I think that's part of it.
I think, I think definitely putting the right things in. It's just like garbage in, garbage out.
Yeah.
Like you have to put in the right things. You have to have the balance of teaching, but you also have to have the balance of awareness. And I say this is, there's power in noticing.
Sure.
When I say is, if we notice, like what we said, our defaults, if we notice what our defaults are, but we also notice, I have an emotion. A lot of times our thoughts are tied to our emotions. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm feeling, threatened. I feel, upset about something. Usually that ties to a belief. Well, if I'm threatened, I'm not worth anything, mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden I have the next thing that comes out after a thought or emotion happens, mm-hmm. a belief kind of gets built. And then what happens after the belief? An action, right? And mm-hmm. after one action, what happens when it multiplies? It becomes what? A habit. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden we have this really bad spiral that happens because we just thought something that wasn't true.
Yeah.
Right. And I want to be careful too, to make sure that at least when we talk about this idea of attitude, that it's not always about having necessarily like the super positive.
Mm-hmm. No, it's not.
You don't like a fake positive either. Cause people know that you're just not being genuine. That's not being authentic, but it's almost to me, it's like in those moments, in those situations, because I think God knows when we're upset. He knows when we're frustrated. Mm-hmm. He knows when we're going through something really awful. Is our first response going to be to go to him, or is it going to be to do something else? So it's like a first response / last resort kind of a thing. How many situations in my life where God is the last resort because nothing else has worked, versus no, it's like I'm in a horrible situation and he is going to be my priority, the first person, the first thing I go to, in that situation, instead of trying to just do everything else that I can think of to make me happy.
Or numb the pain.
It's like a reaction, a habit that you go to just kind of take yourself out of that motion or feeling or thought. Yeah. But I want to piggyback on that, Dustin, because when I sat here and I thought of what Paul wrote, even in the first verse of what he's saying is like, change this mindset, have a like-mindedness, but the mind is like in your relationships with one another, have the mindset as Christ Jesus, mm-hmm. same as Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. And then I sat here and I thought, we were just talking about imminent death. Mm-hmm. What are we supposed to do? Is we're supposed to imitate Christ. What was Jesus doing when he was facing imminent death on the cross, knowing that his followers were even going to deny him? Mm-hmm. He asked them to pray for him.
Yeah.
What did he do?
He said, Father, please forgive them.
He did.
For they don't know what they're doing.
He did. He asked for forgiveness for them. Mm-hmm. But he said, not my will, but yours be done in the garden. And he was weeping, knowing that he was facing imminent death. Mm-hmm. But who did he go to? He went to his father.
Yeah,
he went to him. His default was to go away, to set in silence before him and pray. Mm-hmm. And I just think sometimes our first default is to like go to, I like certain things to eat. Like I would probably go and get a glass of milk and dunk some graham crackers in because that just makes me feel better that the day is better.
There you go.
My habit right now to numb the quote unquote pain or just the stresses of every day is to eat a bowl of cereal or cookies and milk and watch Shark Tank.
Let's go.
That's just what it is, guys.
There you go.
We should do that sometime. What would be a good Shark Tank idea? But right. Yeah, it's something for everybody. I mean, whether it's TV, it's social media, it's exercise, whatever. Yeah. I mean, you just go to it. And it's not bad, but to go to that as the fix, to get you out of a situation that I think more than anything that this isn't going to fix everything, but this is such an immediate fix, and that's the world we live in. It's like, where's that immediate gratification that I can get that it may not fix it all, but I can numb it at least for the time being.
Right.
So often, especially on social media, I see just different friends or different peers saying, why is this happening to me? And like that's our response. A lot of times that's our default is to just ask the question, mm-hmm. why? And sometimes I don't think we're ever going to find the answer, right? But Mr. Rogers, good old Mr. Rogers, I know there's a lot of opinions on him, but in his book, The Simple Faith of Mr. Rogers, there's a quote by him in here, and it says, "Frankly, I think after we die, we have this wide understanding of what's real, and we'll probably say, ah, so that's what that was all about." And I think that's just so good to remember. Like, you don't, the questions aren't bad to have. Like, why is this going, why does nothing seem to be going right? But I think there's a bigger picture at play here. And sometimes when we're in that relationship with God and we're in our heart and mind's attention is on his will, it's easier to be sustained through those times that we have no idea why we're where we are.
Right. But I think it goes back to, and I like, and if I'm going to read this, it's a daily rhythm. Okay, so you know how Paul talks about in Romans 12, you know, we are living sacrifices, you know, and we are to be conforming. Do not conform to the world, but be transformed. So here's the deal. We are conforming. We are actually in, we're conforming to this world, because that's when he says do not conform, it's actually a shift. It's a change. It's like, no, wait, to have transformation happen means you have to shift and be in the opposite direction of conforming. And it's how do you do that? Yeah.
Walking against the lazy river at the water.
Yeah, park. Exactly. It is exactly like the opposite direction of where culture, where your nature, because we are sinners, need of a savior. And it is the opposite direction of where our minds want to go, where our attitudes want to go, where we want to. And it says, no, be transformed by the renewing of your minds. And the renewal is that daily rhythm.
Right.
And it is not, and it's a living thing. So it's actually happening every day, because, man, some days you just want to, like you said, like, I just want to cross this day out. What'd you call it?
Yeah,
it
was, throwaway
it's
day.
It's a throwaway day. I mean, we do have feelings like that sometimes, but I do think that we have to stop the process. And by noticing how we stop the process is by the daily rhythms of saying, no, I'm going to stop. I'm going to go to Jesus with this. My first default is prayer. My first movement is to trust him, replace that lie with truth in my mind to say, no, I am, whether it's, you know, I'm valuable to him, or he's created me, or he will never leave me or forsake me. You know, we go through those verses, we go through the times of truth of, is this, you know, real? And then it begins to make the shift.
Can I take your point a little bit further with Philippians 2? Yes. Like, it goes down to say, and starting with verse 14, do nothing without complaining or arguing, so that no one can criticize you. Live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people. So, I mean, again, it's this idea that you don't have to fake it till you make it kind of a thing. But the reason I think that we have this attitude of Christ in every and all situation is because of how we will look in a world that says is full of crooked and perverse people. So I think, yeah, I mean, Brent, that was such a good way that you put it, of walking against a lazy river, because we were just at an indoor water park, and it is, man, it's hard to do that. Like, so, like,
it's a challenge.
It is, man. Right? So it's like, I just thinking about that, it's so much easier just to sit and just enjoy the ride. And I think that's what a lot of people are.
Yeah.
That's
what they want to do. They just want to enjoy the ride. They don't want to have to face any resistance, or because it takes effort to go the other way.
And if you actually swim with the current, right? It's a blast in so many ways, right? And you feel like it's not as fun to walk against it. But I think it's worth it, right? It's worth it. And it's not that it's not fun, especially if your purpose and your mindset is in the right spot.
Right. And you have to be ready to be, you have to know what you're doing. You have to be aware of what you're doing. I think that's a big thing. Like, we just have to have awareness.
Yeah, for sure.
And that when we have awareness and we begin to think about how God can use us, how we can change our minds, how we can have this attitude adjustment, that every day, then when we're sitting around the dinner table and things go south, right, and we have like that moment that triggers, and then all of a sudden we're like, wait, no, you know, and you go negative fast, and you try to point out what you think is right and what this person, and or you start having a disagreement with your spouse, and it's their fault, and if you would have done this, and you should do this.
Well, I think it helps too. You were talking about earlier about, or we were about, the whole idea of just memorizing certain passages. I think in those moments, maybe it's nothing you say. Maybe it's just the simple fact of holding your tongue, you know, because
100%.
You remember. I mean, you don't remember exactly what it says or where it is, but the words come back because you've studied them, you've read them, you've tried to memorize these certain passages, and all of a sudden, in those moments, the heat of the battle moments of those throwaway days that we have, you're like, you know what?
The greatest hits album.
That's it.
It starts playing.
It starts playing, and you're like, I don't need to say anything right now because what I'm going to say isn't going to help make it any better. It's probably just going to focus on me and maybe make it a little bit worse. So I just need to just try to focus and meditate on what I know is true.
And I think when we do that, we take on the mind of Christ. And I want to point out one more thing before we close here is that we can all be tryhards, but that's actually not what God's asking us to do. We're not just supposed to be tryhards and saying, I'm going to do this. Mm-hmm. But what does it say? The Holy Spirit. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we do this. God gives us the power. He does most of the heavy lifting. He does most of the change in our lives. Mm-hmm. Our goal is to be obedient, humble, and available.
Yeah, it's good.
You know, and I just want to say that because we can all try to have all these self-help guides. I mean, come on. How many self-help guides have you bought and dusted in your life? Yeah.
Dustin, you know? Yeah, how many have you bought?
My self-help collection is growing.
He's got a lot of books in his office.
Yeah, I do. Well,
I sure do.
But they're Angie's.
But I say this is that we can try to self-help all we want, but it's the Holy Spirit who does the work of transformation in our lives.
Amen.
So even when we try to make that shift and not to conform to the world, it's still the Holy Spirit at work. He's the one that changes us. And I say that so that we can have those Jesus thoughts, the ways that we can change our stinking thinking, right?
And you know, stinking thinking. That, I was just going to say, you know where you're never going to hear that? Isn't a country song?
Yeah.
I know.
Maybe our stinking thinking is going to be the next hit.
Yeah.
Mm,
yeah.
I want you guys to sing it too.
Oh, I think we did okay, guys. We missed our fearless leader.
We miss you, Chris.
Have fun. Enjoy the sunshine today. Mm-hmm. But we just want to finish today with this thought as I've been going through a Bible study with some gals, and it's called Get Out of Your Head. Isn't that just a great a title? Just love get it. Out of your head.
That could be a country song too.
Yeah, it could be a country song on my playlist. Get yes. Out of my... But as it's actually all centered on Philippians and how we take on the mind of Christ. Mm-hmm. And so I just want to leave us with this today as we close out. We often don't think about the way we think. We think about the way we feel almost every minute, but changing the way we think seems nearly impossible. And yet the Apostle Paul clearly tells us again and again that conforming our minds to Christ is possible, and it is the goal for every follower of Christ. Paul is telling the believer that because of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, we can actually have the power to think Jesus' thoughts. It's from Jenny Allen and Get Out of Your Head. But thank you to Paul, the Apostle Paul, who helps us center our minds and gives us the encouragement that we can have the mind of Christ. Thanks for being here, listener. You want to find us? You can find us at walkemc.org and find all the information at our At Home tab of our podcast, our blog, and resources. And we look forward to hearing from you. You can message us through our website and let us know. Maybe give us a topic you'd like us to cover. So thanks for being here. Have a great rest of your day.